Welcome to episode 27 of Practical Defense, Child Safety. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addix. In this episode, we're going to cover measures to help keep your child safe. I'd like to thank Christine Host for suggesting this topic. Christine is part of a U.S. Air Force family and is currently deployed overseas. She writes, "Thank you very much for the informative, enjoyable podcasts, which I've only recently discovered." Well, you're welcome, and thanks for listening. While listening to the podcasts, questions arise about keeping your children safe at home, at school, and while traveling. Would you please consider this as a future topic for your podcast? As was mentioned before, nothing makes security and protection more important than a real or imagined threat to one's children. Thank you again. Well, thanks for writing in, Christine, and for suggesting a great topic. This is a huge subject, and the material differs greatly depending upon the age of your child. Also, there's some controversy over what threats are real and what are manufactured by the media to keep you watching TV and news programs. Child safety is a part of parenting, and it's as personal and individual as parenting. So please take what I recommend here as suggestions. There is no right and wrong. You may feel that I have undervalued a certain area or overemphasized another. Heck, there are differences of opinion within my own household. My wife feels I'm a bit too cavalier in some areas and thinks sometimes I'm crazy defensive in others. Pick and choose what you feel is correct. In the end, only you can decide what is best for your child. I want to start by recommending a great book by Gavin DeBecker. It's called Protecting the Gift, Keeping Children and Teenagers Safe and Parents Sane. I'm a big fan of Mr. DeBecker's and recommend this book and his other book, The Gift of Fear, all the time. In fact, I've even mentioned it several times on this podcast. For this episode, I'll be pulling material from both Protecting the Gift and The Reality-Based System. We break down what we teach to children based upon their age, and we do this for several reasons, including what the child can understand and the changing threats to children as their environments change as they age. We have 7 broad categories. We break it down into basically a couple year groupings. So the first one's 3 to 5, the second one is 5 to 6, third is 6 to 9, fourth is 8 to 10, 5 is 10 to 11, 6 is 12 to 13, and 7 is 14 to 18. I'm going to focus this episode on the first category of ages 3 to 5. There's no way I could cover all the categories in a single 10 to 20 minute show. In the future, I might cover the other age brackets. So what do you teach your young child in terms of safety when they're starting to understand and learn about the world around them? The big one that everyone hears and hears all the time is don't talk to strangers. This is also called stranger danger. And believe it or not, this one's controversial. If you look at the statistics, child abduction by complete strangers is so incredibly rare, it's hard to fathom. There are over 300 million people in the United States. In 2002, there were 100 child abductions by strangers. 300 million to 100. It's just not that common. In a study conducted by the NISMART, I'm not even certain how to pronounce that, if it's an acronym, NISMART. Anyway, it's a function of the National Crime Justice Reference Service. In 1999, there were 119 child abductions by strangers or a slight acquaintance. Now compare that to the 58,200 committed by friends and acquaintances. Now this report goes into detail on how each of these categories is specifically defined, the duration the children were taken, the percentage of who were found, and what happened to them. Although it's all statistics, it can still be kind of hard to read. With numbers like 119 compared to 58,000, why do we tell our children to be wary of strangers? The experts are starting to suggest that we are looking in the wrong place for the villain. And this is going to hurt, and it's probably why we don't want to talk about it or look there. It's easier to blame some monster in the dark than it is to look at the people in our lives. The majority of abductions are coming from people we know and trust. Employees, neighbors, friends, and even relatives. People that work in our homes like handymen, gardeners, housekeepers, daycare workers, and babysitters. We're putting up shields and showing those shields to our children and saying, everything outside this boundary is dangerous, so stay away. Everything inside is safe. And then we turn around and invite these wolves into our safe zone. And it's not a happy thought. So in the mind of the child, this person we see occasionally is not a stranger. The child has seen him before, been in our house. Mommy and Daddy talk to them all the time. This person has even been seen inside the home. So therefore, this person is not a stranger. And if it's not a stranger, it's safe. And therein lies the problem. Mr. DeBecker has a great section in his book with tips and suggestions on how to select people to be in our homes. He even provides interview questions for housekeepers and daycare workers and babysitters. Now, these are hard questions, but ones you really want to ask. These are the ones you really need to ask. Mr. DeBecker also suggests that we teach our children to talk to strangers and offers points on how to talk to strangers. Children mimic their parents, and that mimicry is stronger than anything they're told. We tell them not to talk to strangers, and then we turn around and do it in front of them all day long, every day. We talk to the cashier at the grocery store. We talk to the clerk at the bank. We talk to the clerk at the drive-thru. We even chastise the children for not being polite and saying hello to the person we're talking to, who's a complete stranger. This confuses the child, and eventually the don't talk to strangers message is completely undermined. There have even been cases where children have been put into serious danger for not talking to strangers. A few years back, a young boy got separated from his family during a camping trip in the mountains. When he was found lost, the parents called out to everyone to help in the search. The forestry department, search and rescue, tons and tons of volunteers. He was gone for days in the mountains alone. Eventually, he was found. He was dehydrated, hungry, and nearly delirious. He stumbled onto a path and was eventually found by a volunteer searcher on an ATV. When he asked where he'd been, he said he was hiding. When he got separated from his family, he became scared. And he even saw all the people looking for him and calling his name. He ran and hid from them because they were strangers and he wasn't supposed to talk to strangers. The only reason why he let the man on the ATV approach him was because he was so hungry and thirsty he wasn't thinking clearly anymore. He was cold, tired, and afraid, and in danger, so he switched to the strongest message that had been drilled into him, don't talk to strangers, and it almost cost him his life. What Mr. DeBecker recommends is teaching your child how to talk to strangers and the selection process. And there's an entire chapter on this in his book. He also recommends that if a child gets separated from you, not to go to a policeman. The problem is, from a child's height and understanding, they can't tell who a policeman is. Plus, how often do you see a uniformed policeman on foot in your neighborhood? So to young children, all uniforms look alike. So anyone from a baggage checker at an airport to a doorman at a hotel or a soldier, they all look like a policeman. He recommends teaching your child to always go to a woman. Any woman. He suggests that the chances of picking out a female child predator randomly from a crowd is so unlikely that it's practically to be dismissed. Plus, a woman is far more likely to stay with a child the entire time to ensure its complete safe return, far more than a man. In a reality-based children's survival class, we teach kids about all sorts of different things, and it's pretty much based on the LAPD's DARE program. And we even cover things like what to eat and what not to eat. So we talk about what food is in the cabinets and the refrigerator and not under the sink. You know, we don't eat things from the medicine cabinets and the bathrooms. And also, you can buy child safety cabinet latches so that it makes it much harder for kids to get into things. Now, you don't want to rely exclusively on these because kids are smarter than adults give them credit for. And it's best to teach the kids about it and then just have the locks as a backup. We also teach good touch and bad touch. Now, the easiest way to explain this is that touching anything covered by your bathing suit or underwear is a bad touch. Also, keeping secrets from your parents is a bad thing. Now, even if someone makes you promise not to tell, you still need to tell your parents, a teacher, or a police officer. Another big safety tip is that if you have a pool, you need to teach your child to stay away from it without an adult being right there with him or her. Now, fences are a nice backup, but children are ingenious and unrelenting when they really want something, so you can't rely on fences exclusively. Education first, with physical protection as backup. And the same goes for electrical power sockets. Now, even if you don't have a pool, every home has these, and they're right at child height. So teach your child not to put things into power sockets. This is fingers, toys, or even partially pulling something out of a socket. I remember as a child taking a metal ring that I had got as a prize from a box of Cracker Jack and then sticking it into a power socket. And this was back in the early 70s when metal toys were still cheaper than plastic ones. It was one of those open rings, you know, where the circlet part was actually cut out, so, you know, for safety reasons, so it wouldn't get stuck on your finger. Well, the split acted as prongs that fit perfectly into the power socket. So I blew a house fuse and put a nice big black streak on the wall, and then, needless to say, my mother blew her own fuse. Another big one is streets and cars. Children, especially young children, get so excited when they play that they pay little attention to their surroundings. You need to teach them to try to be aware of big landmarks that they can see easily and hopefully recognize. So kids running across the street while not looking is a serious hazard. They can just be playing tag or chasing a ball and they run right out into traffic. Make them aware of the danger and never let them cross the street without an adult present and holding their hand. You need to describe it in simple terms, such as never step onto the black pavement without an adult, you know, specifying that the color difference between the gray and or the white concrete sidewalk and the black asphalt of the road can help them in understanding and in the recall. Your child should also memorize their name, your name as the parent's name, and if you can, your home address and telephone number. I know it's a tall order for a 3-year-old, but it might be possible for a 5-year-old. See, often when you speak to a child, you ask them what their name is, and they know their name. If you ask them their mother's name, you might just get mommy as the response. Or the child doesn't even know their own last name. You know, say, what's your name? Jessica. Okay, Jessica what? I'm Jessica. Okay, well, that doesn't help out very much. So if they get separated, the more information that they can convey about themselves, the faster they will return to you. When I was a youngster, identification bracelets were really popular. They looked very similar to medical alert bracelets or necklaces, but these just had contact information about the child. They're kind of like dog tags for kids. I haven't seen or heard much about them recently, so they may have fallen out of fashion. And since this is the Practical Defense Podcast, the last item I'll cover is weapons. Weapons and children do not mix. Young children are fascinated by guns and weapons. They see them all the time on TV and in video games. They're cool, they're dangerous, and they're used by both heroes and villains alike. And even if a child doesn't want to use them, they will want to show them off to their friends. And that is all bad, bad, bad. You know, if done correctly and safely, you can have firearms in the home. I grew up in a military household, and we had tons of firearms. And in fact, I think my father gave me my first shotgun, a single-shot 12-gauge shotgun, when I was 4. I was taught to respect them, proper safe handling procedures, and they were always kept empty, stored, and locked up when not in use. And we never had a problem. It can be done, but it takes diligence and constant awareness. If you aren't into that or can't commit to it, then please, please do not keep firearms in your home. Accidents do happen, even to the most safety-conscious of us. Now, my cousin accidentally shot his sister once. He was in his room cleaning his .22 caliber rifle. He thought it was empty, and when he pulled the trigger as he was cleaning it, it fired. The bullet went through the wall and then through the neck of his sister in the next room. And she was fine, and she doesn't even have a scar anymore. Luckily, it just passed through all of the soft tissue and didn't touch anything important. Guns are dangerous, even in the hands of safe and experienced people. If you have any doubts, do not store them in your home if you have children living with you, or even just visiting. And for just general education, teach your children not to pick up guns and ammunition. They should leave it alone and tell an adult. And this is, you'd want to teach them this just in case, even if you don't have firearms, in case they're over at a friend's house that does have firearms and they're not as diligent. So, whether you like guns or not, or whether you keep guns or not, teach your children not to pick up guns or ammunition wherever they may find it. All right, in summary, for the younger children, generally ages 3 to 5, don't talk to strangers, and stranger danger is controversial. Consider teaching your children how to talk to strangers. And be selective with whom you invite into your home. Consider teaching your children to go to a woman if they get lost or separated. Teach your children good things and bad things to eat and where they can be found. And although it may be difficult, you need to discuss inappropriate touching with your children. If you have a pool, you need to teach your young children to stay away from the pool. It's fun to play in, but only when an adult is present. And not just present in the yard, but actually there at the poolside with them. Another danger is electricity. Power outlets can be dangerous to young children who like to explore. You need to set physical boundaries that should not be crossed with an adult. Things like streets. They should also have an awareness of cars. And children should memorize basic information about themselves, their full names, including the family name, the name of their parents if they can, and their home address and telephone number. And finally, weapons and children do not mix. Teach them not to touch or handle guns or ammunition. So that does it for this episode of Practical Defense, with a special thanks to Christine Host for suggesting this week's topic. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexaddicts.com. That's podcast@alexaddicts.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddicts.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.